that Adam and Eve could hear that. Have you ever thought about this? It must have been some good stamping on the foot of the foot that Adam and Eve heard them. Is that what it says in here? Brother Harry, Dion, could you put the King James Version for the Buffas? And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Are we together? So God was walking in the garden. One time I was preaching for some farmers. I asked them, who was the first time, the first farmer in the history of the world? I don't know. God. God was the first farmer. Yes, he was the first one to plant a garden. If you go back on that book, chapter 2, it says that God planted a garden and put Adam in it. Amen. Therefore, we learn that God was walking in this planet to hang out with Adam and Eve. You may be asking, what does it got to do with Christmas? I want you to stay with me. But like we always do, mankind decide to go separate ways. You know, sometimes I often wonder. One time I thought, if God wouldn't change our minds, I would have hit Adam so hard when I would meet him for the first time. What? Yeah, when I would have got to heaven, I would have, wham! And what is this for? For we stop being stupid. God is right there walking with you every evening. And you dare to go the other way. But like everything else, we dare to mess it up. Watch this. Dion, can you put up Genesis 3, 1 through 7? Now, the serpent, that's stupid, was more cunning. She's just cunning, but not smart, than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden? Of course he did, you idiot. But he started questioning. Verse 2. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. First lie. He's the father of lies. And the sad thing about it is that even today, we are always listening to the lies. Christmas is not about Santa Claus or some lousy flying reindeer. This is some bubblehead imagination. And if you got to celebrate Christmas, how do you do this? Angels come and sing on high. Is that correct? Yes. Hey, you're going to celebrate his birth. Start singing praises to him. Amen. You're going to celebrate his birth? Yes. Get together and bring him gifts. But like in the old day, this lousy idiot devil lied to the woman. You will not surely die. Kidding me? God is lying. Listen to verse 5. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Why would you like to be like God? Give me a break! Another lie. You got to know good and evil, right? But you never became like God. Verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. Did you see that everything that is spoken of here has to do with the flesh? You notice that? Notice that? She saw eyes. The tree was good for food, lips. That it was pleasant to the eyes again, pleasant. And desirable flesh again, to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. Disobedience. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And this is why I would have punched him very hard. Verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened. But didn't say that they become like God, did it? You lied to. So what does it got to do with Christmas, preacher? Hold on. Hold on to your horses. I'm trying to show you something here. God from the get-go intended to walk among us. Amen. Can I have an amen here?
Yes.
3:8. God's intention was to walk among us, to dwell among us, to hang out with us on a daily basis. And believe ye me, this is still God's longing today.
Amen.
Unfortunately, the serpent is coming through our homes through the other God that is 52 inches big. Because we've got too much time to watch, to behold, to contemplate it. And poor God got very little of us. And the worst of all is that when we are contemplating, we are enticed. We are enticed, like Eve was, to discover it. Did you know that adultery doesn't happen overnight? Y'all know that? It's a scientific fact. Before someone commits adultery, he or she have to think over that several times. They have to picture that in their minds. What is this called? Contemplation. And today we have a tree made of plastic with some wire hooked up on it. And in there we are presented so many facts that are lies and contrary to what God told us to do and to be. And like always, as I said, God intended to have a fellowship with us. God intended to hook up with us, to hang out with us. But we chose to go the other way. The beauty about all this is that despite of our mess, God still wanted to hang up with us. But listen to Genesis 3:20. And Adam called his wife's name Eva because she was the mother of all living creatures. The next scripture says that God took the skin of an animal and he made clothing to Adam and his wife. So where does it say that God still wants to hang up with us? Now that man chose to go his own way and separated himself sufficiently from God, God had to kill an innocent animal. Blood had to be shed to cover man's nakedness and stupidity. Are you all with me so far? That was God saying, hey, you messed up, but I still want you. The only thing is it's going to be tough for you right now. But any time that you're really willing to come by, I'm still here. Well, time went by. And God, throughout the ages, kept giving mankind hint. Hey, I still want you. But we kept missing it. Remind you that God's original intention was to walk in the cool of the day in the garden and hang out with man. Are we correct so far?
Yes.
We miss it for about 4,000 years. No, 2,000 years. God started the sacrifice, gave us the teachings, the Torah, trying to bring us back, trying to hang out with us. We keep missing it. Then, here comes the promise. Isaiah 7:14 tells us about something wonderful. Therefore, the Lord will give you a sign that He still wants to hang out with you. You say, what are you talking about? The Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. What kind of sign is this? That God still wants to hang out with you and I. How do you know that? A girl that never touched a man is going to have a baby. Well, that's impossible. True. But with God's intervention, it becomes possible. Therefore, the one that is coming out of her shall be called Son of the Living God. Or Son of God. So, what you're trying to say? How many of you have your bulletin this morning? Open up your bulletin. Who don't have a bulletin? Raise your hand so one of the elders can get you one. Everybody got a bulletin? Two people don't have the bulletin, brother. One on the back there and one here. The title of our pastor's desk for this week is Emmanuel. It took me some time to go through this. I was trying to... I know how, what I want to say, but I'm thinking, I've got to think Western way. How can I put this thing here? And this is what came out. Throughout mankind's history, many acts of bravery had been performed by ordinary people. Things that supposedly couldn't happen did happen. Miracles took place on occasion in circumstances where there was no hope at all. And all of these miracles and acts of bravery happened because of the belief in Emmanuel. Or the correct word would be Emmanuel. The concept and belief that God resides with us is so powerful that will make a simple person become a giant. It will encourage the discouraged. It will certainly strengthen the weak. It brings hope, it brings light, it brings comfort, and it gives a reason to live. A reason to go on even when there is a very small light at the end of the tunnel. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The word Emmanuel from Hebrew is a compound. Emmanuel, everybody knows God with us, literally from Hebrew to English, is God is with us. It's not God with us, it's all right, but literally is God, though with us is God. That's the way, the literal translation. With us is God. How is that important? I mean, what's the big deal? In the beginning, God came out in the end of the day, in the cool of the day, to hang out with Adam. He blew it. God kicked out. God gave the ceremonial sacrifices and whatnot. Why? Because God wants to hang out with His people. So much so that when they came out of Egypt, God was hanging out during the day by a big cloud that kept natural air conditioning in a 100 degrees desert. In the evening, when the temperature drops down to 40, that cloud became a pillar of fire, which gave them celestial heater and kept them at 70 so they could sleep comfortably. Are you with me here? So God was always in there. And despite of the fact that God was always there, they always blew it. So God said, you know what? Let's go to the extreme. He sent his son. And the name of his son, one of the first names, was Emmanuel. With us is God. Why? Because God is still longing to hang out with us. If we could understand this, the stinking TV would be off all the time. We are wasting precious time watching garbage. When God is on the back burner, willing to hang with us. So he went a step further. I'll make a virgin get pregnant, which is impossible. And I'm going to let the Holy Ghost impregnate her so my son can come down to make sure that the world will know that I still want them. I still want to hang out with them. Amen. This is what Christmas is all about. God willing to hang out with us. One may ask, why do I need God to hang out with me? It's simple. Let's go to Isaiah 9, chapter 9, verse 2. This is why you need Christmas. This is why you need God hanging out with you. Read it with me. The people who... Every single man and woman that has not made a profession of faith to serve God, to follow Christ, is in darkness. This is why you need Christmas. Or this is why you need a God willing to hang out with us. You got that? Without Jesus in the picture, without Emmanuel in the picture, without God with us in the picture, there is no hope but great darkness. You know, sometimes people get upset when they say this. It doesn't matter how good of a person one may be. You could sell all your goods, give it to the poor. You could take off your clothes, give it to somebody who doesn't have a clothes. You can get your food and give it to those who have no food. If you don't have God with us as your personal Savior, you will perish forever. Sorry, this is the way that God made it. And this is why he sent Emmanuel to hang out with us. And there's a reason for that, and I'm coming to this in a very, very short time. But we need him because man without God lives in great darkness or in the shadow, the land of the shadow of death. This is what life is all about. If Emmanuel wasn't with us. Are you following me? There are billions of people out there on planet Earth. They are good people. They are sincere people. They are honest people. They are worshiping other gods. And they are thinking they're going to make to God, they're going to make to heaven. Because they are good people. I do good work. I take care of my family. I help the poor. I watch out for my neighbors. That won't do it. We needed, and we still need, Emmanuel. El. With us is God. That God is the only one who can make things happen. Watch this. Diane, it's not on the list. Can you put up there Acts chapter 4, verse 12. I think it's 12. Acts 4, 12. Read it with me. Nor is there salvation. Somebody can be the best person in the planet. They can give all their goods to the poor. They can give their food to the poor. They can give their clothing to the clothless. They can give their homes to the homeless. And yet, if they don't come to God through that only name, the name of Jesus Christ, they won't make it. And this is why you see today, people that belongs to other religions, and some that had some kind of Christian background, but they are not in fellowship. They have never made a decision to follow Jesus Christ. You see them being smacked by the devil left and right. Why? They are in the shadow, in the land of the shadow of death. They can't control themselves. What? Yeah. What do you mean? If God, with us is God, if Emmanuel is not present in our lives, everything is dark. Now, how many of you can see well when you are walking pitch dark? You can see nothing. You got to have some rays of light so you can get around. Is that correct?
Yes.
Try this. Go home, close your windows, close your blinders, close your door, put a piece of cloth right at the bottom of the door, turn off the light, and try to find something in your bedroom. Especially in a dark night where there's no light outside. You're going to be like feeling things around. Why? There is no light. And this is what he says. God shall give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive. She's going to bear a son. She's going to call him Emmanuel. With us is God. Because the people who were in the valley, in the land of the shadow of death, we have a great light shining upon them, which will show them the way to go. People that are in church today but never made a decision to follow Christ, they can still be enslaved by the devil because Emmanuel is not yet with them. When Emmanuel is with them, they will have all the power that they need to overcome temptation, to overcome sin, to overcome addiction, to overcome unbelief in the whole nine yards. Why do we need Christmas? Isaiah 9:6 tells us this. I would say we need Christmas because we need a real leader that's not a fake, a phony, a fraud. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. It's not Buddha who's going to rule the world. It's not the Hindu gods, not Muhammad who's going to rule the world. The government shall be upon his shoulder. Are you with me here? We need a real leader. We need one that is tough. We need one that is righteous.
Amen.
Some of the things that we learn in here, it says that his name will be called, he's already called with us, is God, right? His name is also shall be called Wonderful. Well, let's go one by one. Wonderful. The word wonderful is the Hebrew word Pele. Some will say Fele. Say Fele. The word Fele has something really beautiful. The word phele is a miracle, a wonder, something that is marvelous. What you saying, preacher? We shall have a leader that will be marvelous, that will be a wonder. We shall have a leader that shall be a miracle. Because he is a miracle, he can do miracles. Are you with me here? If your ancestors were Africans, and you are an African, whether you're African or African-American, and your spouse is African or African-American, whatever it is, your children will be Africans. Is that correct? If your ancestors were Caucasian, whether it's from Eastern Europe, Western Europe, Australia, whatever they came from, if your ancestors were Caucasian and you are Caucasian, your spouse is Caucasian, your children will be. If you are God with us, and one of your titles is miracle, you will do
miracles.
And this is the reason we can come to Him. We need a government that will do miracle. We need a governor, a leader that will do miracle. And this is why I don't serve Buddha, I don't serve Muhammad, or none of the other punks out there that call themselves God. Because they can't do miracle. You know, I was looking at that word, the sentence, the government will be upon his shoulder. I was reading this thing this morning in Hebrew, and the sentence in Hebrew is Misra al Shechem. And then, well, what does it got to do with anything? Did you know that the word Misra has to do with the neck? No. My bad. The word Misra means empire, a governor, or a governor of an empire. Y'all following me so far, right? This Savior that would come, he will become the governor of an empire. It says the government shall be upon his shoulder. Why? The word shoulder over there, that is Shechem, means the neck, or the place between the shoulder, the place where one carry burdens. Are you putting it together? This Son of God, this with us is God, that would come, will be the governor of an empire, and he is able to carry our burdens within his shoulder. My God. Do you understand why he said, take my burden, because they are light? You understand that? This is what Christmas is all about. He is wonderful because he's marvelous, he's miraculous, and therefore he can do miracle. He is also a counselor. And the word counselor is the Hebrew word yatz. Say yatz. Is a governor that is able to give advice. Is a governor that is able to deliberate. Is a governor that is able to resolve. And by the way, he's able to advise well. He's a governor that you can go to consult. Take counsel from him. He is a governor able to determine, to guide, and to establish purpose on the life of his followers. Isn't that something? He is also called Mighty God, which is the Hebrew words El Gibor. And you all know this, but let me give it to you anyway. The word El comes from a root of strength, mighty. often uses almighty and often used to God or deity. All powerful, a warrior, a champion, a chief that excels, a giant, a mighty God, strong God, valiant God. All this is encompassed on El Gibor. So we're going to have a kingdom whose governor has the ability to carry our burdens within his shoulder. He is able to take to give advice, to deliberate, to resolve our problems. He is able to give counsel, to determine, to guide, and to give us purpose, because he has strength, he has power, he has mighty, he is powerful, he is a champion, he is a chief, he excels, he is a giant. He is the strong God, and he is the valiant. He is also called an everlasting Father. Abad. Abad. What that means? A principal father. Literal and immediate father. A chief father. Some of you may not identify with this. I do. I never had a father. There was a sperm donor that through rape got me into this world. So I never saw his ugly face. But I have Ad Ab, an everlasting Father. For those of you who have struggled with the fact that there wasn't a father present in your life, let me say this to you this morning. Before your mom and your daddy got together, somebody else in heaven already planned on your coming and wanted to make you his child. You've got a permanent, a chief father, the one that will always be there looking for you. Can I hear an amen here? He's also called Prince of Peace, which in Hebrew is the word Sar Shalom. The word Prince is Sar, S-A-R. Sar Shalom, Prince of Peace. Why is that important? A prince, the word Prince Sar here, is used in Hebrew as a head person, a captain, a chief, or chief general, a keeper, a lord, a master, a ruler, and a steward. So what you're saying? The baby that was born in Bethlehem can be literally called the head person of peace, the captain of peace, the chief of peace, the governor of peace, the keeper of peace, the lord of peace, the master of peace, the prince of peace, the ruler of peace. And all this is at your disposal, at my disposal. Bible-believing people have no business to be there desperate. There's too much peace available to each one of us. So, preach, what's the conclusion? Why do you celebrate Christmas? Would you agree with me that maybe it's time for us to reevaluate why we do it? Folks, Christmas is not about, let me put it this way, it's not only about opening gifts, as it is about opening our hearts and receiving all these gifts that God has to give to us. At the end of the day, Emmanuel still wants to hang out with you and I. It is one of the greatest privileges mankind will ever have. The fact that the maker of the earth would even bother to know our names. He does. But above all, he wants to hang out with us. Don't pass the opportunity. Make it something creative. You ever remember when you went on your first date? Not you kids, I'm talking the grown-ups. You remember that? Boys, how you dressed up all nice and you try to impress and you try to find creative ways. Remember that? And ladies, I would have a nice shower, put the best clothes you had on, do a nice hairdo. Took some perfume on your lips. And then when you met, even your breath is so sweet. Boys, you remember when you took flowers? And then when you ran out of flowers, you bought a box of chocolate. And then when you couldn't afford a box of chocolate, you got some candy. Toffee or caramel and whatnot. Do you remember how you used to be creative? The birth of our Lord is about relationship. Let's not miss that opportunity. Let's get creative with our God. Why, preacher? I guarantee you, to this day, God is still willing to hang out with us. Amen. And this is why he sent us Emmanuel, which means with us is God. May God give us the boldness and the courage to turn off the other God and to spend some quality time with Emmanuel. God bless you.